Hi, I'm Dr. Dina Garner, and welcome to the Run to the Top podcast.
Hi there, my running friend. This is Coach Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, one of the first and only running podcasts dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of running coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as running coaching plans to fit every runner and every budget. What if I told you there was a simple way to improve your muscular endurance, reduce your respiratory rate when running, reduce the production of lactic acid, slash your cortisol buildup in half, allowing for faster recovery times after every run? I bet you'd be all over it, right? And then you might be asking, what's the catch? My guest today is Dr. Dina Garner, and she spent the last 17 years of her career researching and developing a very simple product that promises to do all of that. Now, before I get into what this is all about, I have to tell you that when I first heard of this, I was immediately skeptical because it just sounds too strange to be true. But let's jump in and find out. Dr. Garner is a professor at the Citadel, one of the six senior military colleges in the United States. She has degrees in exercise science and muscle physiology, as well as a postdoctoral fellowship in neurology. At the Citadel, her research has concentrated on the effects of a mouthpiece inserted over the lower teeth during exercise. She measures the physiological parameters of her subjects while using the mouthpiece, including levels of lactate and cortisol, as well as respiratory rate, and has found some pretty incredible results. Her research has shown that the specific way you place your jaw and tongue, aided by a mouthpiece, results in a physiological change in the airway, which improves performance outcomes. In addition to opening up your airway, when you bite or clench down on the mouthpiece during exercise, research cites an increase in cerebral blood flow, which may be the link to improvements in cortisol and lactate. Okay, I know what you're thinking. This is pretty weird, right? And I'm not afraid to say that to Dr. Garner in our conversation. But if you think about it, it could make sense. Think about when you're concentrating hard on something. Many people instinctively clench their teeth or chew on a pencil or their lip or a necklace or even bite their nails. Why do we do that? What if it's not just a habit your mom tries to get you to stop doing? What if it's a stress-relieving mechanism that's evolved over time that actually does help us? I don't know about all that, but what I do know is that this research is absolutely fascinating to me and potentially could be a game changer in performance and recovery. Let's find out. Before we get into our conversation, I wanted to talk real quick about how what you eat affects your hydration. Most runners eat healthy with a focus on whole, unprocessed foods most of the time. While that is awesome, it also means that you need to pay more attention to your electrolytes. Athletes, healthy eaters, and heavy sweaters all require a lot more sodium than you might think, especially after workouts. And if you are all three, you definitely need more than a typical sports drink. That's where Element, founded by biochemist Rob Wolf, comes in. It's loaded with everything you need to replenish your electrolyte balance with 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. And it doesn't include anything you don't need, like extra sugar or anything artificial. Stay tuned for how you can get a free sample pack at lmnt.com. And now, here's my conversation with Dr. Dina Garner. Welcome to the Run to the Top, Dina.
Thank you for having me. I'm so appreciative of this opportunity.
Well, you have a very interesting background with degrees in exercise science, muscle physiology, and neurology. I'd love to know what excites you most about these fields.
You know, to be honest, along the way with my undergraduate degree in art history, which is off to the side, right? You wonder how all these things can converge. But at this point in my career, I can see how what excites me most is the convergence of all these aspects to where I am today. So super excited to talk about one aspect of that, which has led to the innovation of the mouthpiece. And that really has to do with the creativity that I started my undergraduate, and then connecting the dots with physiology and exercise, as well as the neuroscience aspect, is just all exciting. I think I would be excited about any aspect you wanted to talk about.
Well, we'll get into the mouthpiece part in just a minute, but I would love to put a pin in the neurology part for just a few minutes. So can you talk us through what happens neurologically when we run?
So, you know, there's a lot more people who are experts in that area. And really, you focus on my field was focusing more on the muscle part, the muscle physiology. Where I received my training was more with in the multiple sclerosis and fatigue aspect of neurology. And so I can speak a little bit to that. But neurologically, we know with exercise across the age span that that promotes those neurological connections, those neuronal connections within the brain that helps cognition across the lifetime. And then again, you connect the dots down to the muscles, which improves, obviously, we know visually, the muscle function. And so as you see that just in layman's terms, I always encourage people to exercise just from the aspect that those neurons are firing when you're exercising. So that's an encouragement just for any of us, right? Because we want to keep a healthy brain throughout the lifespan.
Mm-hmm. So exercise is good for the brain. We know that. But how does it work from the brain to the muscle? So like I'm talking real simple biology. How does the brain tell the muscle to fire?
And so in essence, it's the same thing. You think of your the neurons, right, as synapses, connecting points, communicating points. And so those have to originate, obviously, the voluntary movement in the brain. And that travels all the way down to, let's just say, your running muscles primarily, or your quadriceps and gastroc. And that just continues that firing, and that continues that healthy aspect of it, and the inflammatory responses associated with neurological diseases along the lifespan. It helps decrease that inflammation. And so if you think about it more in layman's terms, it's just really connecting the dots from the brain down to the muscles, because they all talk to one another, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we exercise, it basically fires that up and improves that connection and that communication so that we can maintain our health throughout the lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Well, many of us who are, you know, serious runners or amateur runners that are really dedicated, what we want to know is, how do we get the brain and the muscles to talk to each other faster?
You know, that's a million-dollar question, or right? We'd want to do that. I think just obviously there's drug interventions, we can utilize, but primarily if we're going to be healthy, we want to running is one of the best ways to do that, right? Because what happens is the hormonal milieu and the balancing of those aspects, as well as their ability to process the metabolic, the glucose and all the things that we take into our body, that is enhanced. It's like we fine tune that with exercise. And so how we do that, exercise is just a wonderful aspect to how we can maintain and fine tune those different physiological systems that include the brain, the muscle, and throughout the body, the hormones, right? For me, it's thinking about menopause and how we want to think on balancing the hormonal response. Exercise helps with that. And so not only your brain, your function, your cognitive, your physiology, but also the hormonal aspects at all, and inflammatory responses and immune response, right? It's just such a wonderful aspect that doctors we know prescribe, and there's a good reason for it, right? That any medicine can't touch all the different aspects. One medicine can't touch all the aspects that, you know, exercise can do for us, especially running, right? Running's been my thing since I was, you know, small. So I continue to do that because of all the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go into the hormones, and specifically you have a background looking at cortisol and exercise. First of all, is cortisol actually a hormone? It's referred to as the stress hormone. Can you talk about what it is, what it's useful for and what's bad about it.
Yes. So we know that our body secretes cortisol as a stress response, but it's also a good aspect to our physiology in that it helps to, when we take in glucose, it helps to break that down, right? So glucose, norepinephrine, and epinephrine help to break down the fuels that we need for exercise. But what happens, research shows this, as, you know, exercise intensity grows throughout, that cortisol increases, but it'll stay elevated post-exercise. What we do know about cortisol is that elevated levels of cortisol do impede, and I've heard you talk about this on your podcast, the protein synthesis, right? Mm-hmm. Exercise helps promote that ultimately. And cortisol is that aspect that, that the changes that protein synthesis. And so if you keep elevated cortisol levels, then your ability to process and help your muscles get healthy again, protein synthesis is decreased. So that's what we want to think about. And also your immune response too. You ever remember when you were in college, potentially, and you're taking exams, you have a very stressful situation, you're exercising, and then you're like, you get sick. Your immune response is jumping into play because of one aspect of that being cortisol, elevated cortisol levels. Absolutely.
Okay.
Great question.
Yeah. So cortisol is obviously necessary when we are exercising. You know, the saber-toothed tiger is coming out of the jungle and we need a shot to move us forward, right? So it's just afterward that too much cortisol is a problem. Is that right?
That's correct. And we're happy to talk later on, right, about what we've found with some studies, because it's really exciting to see how this potentially could help bring that cortisol back to healthy levels.
Yeah. Well, and it seems that there's all sorts of things that happen in the body with exercise, specifically running. You know, you mentioned inflammation. I have always thought that inflammation is similar to cortisol in the respect that you need it at first, but when you have a prolonged exposure to inflammation, that's when it's trouble. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
That's right. And, you know, there's some great researchers, Dr. Neiman from App State, who really, they named it. It's called the J curve, where in which a moderate to amount of exercise is healthy, right, for that inflammatory response. And then our body's ability to grow from that experience, in essence, you can think of it that way. But when you exercise to such an extreme, like ultra marathoning and other aspects of exercise, where you just continue to over exercise, in essence, our body's inability to recover from that, and then our subsequent response to that, for example, your decreased immune response, is very evident in the literature. And so understanding how that J curve works from, you know, you get some benefits to moderate, to a little bit of exercise, but then really, you know, when we go to moderate to that area, that J curve is really where we get the benefits. And then as you progress upward towards that more intense exercise that is beyond what your body's ability to recover from, then that's where your immunity is affected. And again, it's unique for different people and at the different stages of training. So prescribing and saying, oh, 10 miles is too much is, you know, that we can't say that, but we can say that there is that area of the curve, which it does impede our immune response.
Sure. That's why we hear, at least anecdotally, that people get sick after a marathon. They're, you know, more likely to get a cold or something like that. So has that been more than just anecdotal? Has that actually been proven?
Yes, that is. And you'll see some good literature. Like I said, Dr. Neiman has written some good papers about that. And there's other, obviously, researchers who have diagnosed it or have studied it. And then you can see it primarily, they'll take the marathoner, as that's a good case study or a good group to study. When they look at this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love to talk a little bit, before we get into the mouthpiece part, I want to talk a little bit about lactate and lactic acid. This is something that you have studied, obviously, and it's really misunderstood. You know, as a coach, I'll hear my athletes say, oh, I'm sore from yesterday's workout. I've got all this lactic acid in my legs. Can you talk about the actual process and what's going on and if that's even true?
Yes. And so it's the hydrogens that are disassociate from the lactate, which cause the issues with muscles. And so we looked at that specifically in my lab. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I was a muscle physiologist, and we would take single muscle fibers and we would activate them with a solution of hydrogen senescence. And what we know is that the body's ability to, muscle's ability to contract effectively is impeded by this increased environment of hydrogens. And so in hydrogens, when your pH changes from your lactic acid and the disassociations of the hydrogen from the lactate, that is the problem. And so hydrogens are the problem and cause fatigue with intensity, the high intensity exercise. But the research shows the ability to, your body's ability to clear it out is improved if after an intense exercise, you just go for about 50 to 60% of your VO2 max for just a short amount of time. It helps basically get your blood moving that hydrogen out so that you can recover quicker.
I'd like to talk about the science of sweat for a moment. You may already know that when you sweat, you lose electrolytes, which are essential for your body's best performance. But you've also been told that too much salt is bad for you, and it can get confusing to know what to do. The truth is that athletes, healthy eaters, and heavy sweaters all need more sodium, and just about everyone needs more potassium in their diet, and we don't need a bunch of sugar and artificial junk along the way. Element is the hydration solution designed with athletes and everyone who sweats in mind. Element was born when former bioresearch biochemist and two times New York Times bestselling author Rob Wolf needed to elevate his fitness game. His coaches recommended upping his electrolytes to improve his performance, and it worked. After years of mixing his own homemade electrolyte blends and frustration with the lack of healthy options on the market, Element Recharge was born. Element comes in lots of salty flavors that even the saltiest sweaters will love, such as citrus, raspberry, and orange. And it even comes unflavored for those who prefer the clean, salty taste. And for a limited time, you can try Element's new watermelon flavor. This has been one of their most requested flavors, and as the weather starts to change, there's nothing more refreshing during or after a run than watermelon salt. I don't know about you, but when I'm racing, I crave salt, not sugary sweetness. So Element can be the perfect hydration solution to replace your levels fast. For Run to the Top listeners, Element is offering a free Element sample pack. You only pay $5 for shipping. The sample pack includes 8 packets of Element, 2 citrus, 2 raspberry, 2 orange, and 2 raw unflavored. To claim this exclusive deal, you must go to drinklmnt.com/runnersconnect. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to drinklmnt.com/runnersconnect. This deal is only valid for the next month. We're loving Element Tea, and we think you will too. Get your free sample pack now. If you don't love it, share it with a salty friend. They will refund your $5, no questions asked. You have nothing to lose. Once again, head over to drinklmnt.com/runnersconnect for your salty samples. So this is like scientific proof that you should not skip your cool down.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Okay, perfect. That's good to know. So a really interesting, and I have to admit, Dina, it's a little strange. Uh-huh. What you are doing, your research, is the study of using a mouthpiece during exercise. So can you describe what you found, how this works, and how this all got started?
Well, Claire, I'm with you. This is an odd concept. And when I was first broached with it 17 years ago, really, it's been that long, I thought the person who had asked me to do this was just crazy. But I said, you know what? To be honest, I'm always wanting to think outside the box. And it gave one of my graduate students an opportunity to do some research. So for me, that was a win. I really and honestly did not think that it would have an effect. And even I would like, even like when I was a muscle physiologist, I would take muscle fibers of myself, my biopsies, because I want to be in the game, right? When I'm doing the research, I want to understand. So I'm wearing this mouthpiece for the research, and I'm seeing some subjective improvements that marries up with the objective findings we're seeing in the lab, but I still cannot convince myself that this is working. I'm like, this is still just a fluke, right? But, you know, to be honest, I continue to get the same results, or, you know, very supportive data to suggest that this has an effect physiologically. Like, there are parameters, like, we're not asking people, do you feel better? Does it help you? We're looking at, like you mentioned earlier, lactate and cortisol. We're doing CT scans, and it's showing over and over again that there is an effect. And so then it caused me to dig a little deeper. And the Japanese have done a lot of research in the area of clenching, right? Mm-hmm. And its effect on cerebral blood flow and hormones. And then there's the other area that really was a light bulb moment for me, was the sleep apnea area, in which the mandibular placement of the jaw at sleep helps to improve airway opening. So all these things started to kind of come together for me and allow me to keep digging deep to figure this out. And so as I figured out one thing, I would try that in the lab and do some studies. And it began to open my eyes to see that its effect is real, right? It's very hard to think about because it's so novel, but it is a something that we ought to consider, right? I always tell everybody to try it for yourself and just see, but the research does support.
Okay. So for the people listening to this, they might not understand what we are talking about when we say mouthpiece. So this is like a device that you put on your bottom teeth, like a retainer or a mouth guard that you sleep in at night, correct?
That is correct.
But the Airwave product that you're associated with, that also has this, this part where you stick your tongue under a little bit behind the lower teeth, right? Can you explain that?
Yep. So it's not a protective mouthpiece, the one that I'm just talking about. It's basically a mouthpiece that, if you can think of it this way, and that's the way I like to describe it, you think of, we want to use all of our muscles effectively when we run, for example, even our arms. Like, we don't want to run kind of like this because we know our arm muscles will impede how we are running economy. Well, I like to say that our tongue is a muscle. It is a muscle. And so we know from the sleep apneic research that when you contract your tongue and push it forward in the base of your mouth, that causes a mechanical response in your airway. And I've shown that with CT scans. And so when I realized all of that, and I was seeing some of the data from my respiratory parameters, what I saw was that when we put this tongue underneath that little bar, in essence, it's almost like a training bar that allows it to position your tongue correctly. Then it allows your tongue to contract and your airway to open more effectively. The other aspect, as I mentioned earlier, is the clenching down. You're not like clenching, but you're biting down and breathing through your mouth. That is like an optimal position for your mandible to be placed, and so that your airflow can go back and forth optimally. That decreases your respiratory rate. So your breathing is calmer. And that's what we're seeing, some changes in the lactate and the cortisol. It's a very small thing, but it is a very impactful aspect that could, that has been shown to be helpful during exercise.
Okay. Let's go back to the clenching part of it. So when I think of clenching, I feel like I clench when I'm stressed, or if I'm, you know, lifting weights, I might clench just completely unconsciously. And it feels like I shouldn't be doing that. You know, I have a history of TMJ problems. And so clenching is like, I try to avoid it at all times. But you are saying we do that for a reason, a beneficial reason.
So,
is that right?
Yes. And so think about, let's go back to your example of, you know, you want to clench when you're lifting weights, but really the occlusal surfaces are not perfect, right? And so you can't really, we're made not to bite down our teeth because that's not healthy. What we know from the research is that our occlusal surfaces, so the top and the bottom of your teeth are in good alignment and can all touch at the same time, which is what this mouthpiece does, then it causes an even biting. And the research shows, like I said earlier with the Japanese research, the cerebral blood flow increases. And so that is what I theorize changes some of the hormonal responses with cortisol, for example. Those are studies yet to be done. There's so much we've done, but there's so much yet to be done that we do see some data that's already out there with the Japanese, but also with things that we want to do with this mouthpiece.
Okay, because it really feels so counterintuitive. You know, when we're teaching people how to run fast, one of the things that I'm always saying is relax, relax your face. You know, if you're stressed in your face, you are using energy, you're wasting energy by scowling. But clenching is actually good for us.
And I would say, like, I go back to the point of when I tell my subjects on the studies, you know, you're just basically biting down. You're not clench, clench, clenching. I will say it's at the end of my run, right? When I'm powering through that, I'm going to clench down pretty hard just to power through. And you see athletes do that. Usain Bolt used to bite down on his necklace and other athletes. And so the physiology behind it, I've already mentioned, but also during the run, I don't feel at all like I'm any stress with my mouth or jaw. I just feel like everything's more in an optimal alignment. So I'm biting down, breathing through my mouth, and I'm allowing that, you know, even though I'm biting, it's a good bite. There is in some activation of those nerves, the cranial nerves that then could potentially affect that cerebral blood flow.
Okay. Okay. Well, Airwave did send me a mouthpiece, and I've only tried it out on one run, just an easy run. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so I don't know, you know, one run, who knows what's going on, right?
Right.
So how do I know I'm using it correctly?
So I think the main thing that I would tell you is that, you know, you just want to always kind of keep your tongue down and contracting forward up under the bar. And you're just biting down, right, comfortably, and you're breathing through your mouth. So that's part of optimal benefits when you use it. Absolutely. I would say, you know, it is unique. So I would say give it a few, maybe a week or so of trying it to get used to it. I will say that I told you before, I was very skeptical. But now if I can't leave my house without it, right, for any exercise, would love to run every day, but my joints won't let me. So I do cross training. So I use it for yoga and swimming and biking. And so it's just, it's somehow the things that we still have yet to study, those aspects that I'm really interested in. For example, I've always liked to run, but I like the best part of it was at the end, right?
Right.
But now I found with this, I'm fine with, you know, the first week, you know, I heard, you know, your earlier podcast about first, give it 10 minutes. You know, for me, if I give it just a few minutes, I'm in it. Like I'm in the run. I'm enjoying it. And so that's part of the aspects I want to study down the road, especially as it relates to potentially cerebral blood flow. But I am excited to go out and run, and I need that, right, for my age and when I continue to do. So I can't run without it.
Okay. So what should we expect with continued use? Is this going to make running easier? Can we get faster? You know, all the things that runners want to know. What is this going to benefit?
So our studies have not followed individuals across time, right? Longitudinal. We've done acute studies. And so, but subjectively for me, yes, I improved my marathon times, and I'm not a fast runner. In college, I ran, you know, track. So I was a sprint, and I only took up running after college for sanity and fitness.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my skill set is sprinting, but my first marathon before the mouthpiece, not good. Maybe it was like 5 years later, I started using mouthpiece and my time's improved. So, it's to me, potentially again, but I'm not going to say that I've studied that in research. The other thing that I will say that we do also want to study, and I mentioned earlier, is the cortisol changes post-exercise. When we subjectively, we see the inflammatory response go down acutely. We've seen that, right, objectively. And then subjectively, what I've seen is the injury rate has been so vastly improved with wearing this. And so I do believe that it has to be related to the cortisol changes. So recovery, right, is huge, right? So that you get back in for the next one. That has subjectively been a part of what I've seen and others have seen. But again, that's something that I would recommend, you know, someone try out for themselves. People love it. And so I think, being able to scientifically say the injury and the, inflammatory response across time, that's where we're going to see the benefits. And,
okay.
I'll tell you one study we did, interestingly, is we had our subjects do some really, really intensive resistance training exercise. And so we had them wear it. Obviously, we measured cortisol during and after, and then 20 and 60 minutes after. So they kept the mouthpiece in, and I'll keep mine in 10 minutes after I finish running. But we see that the cortisol changes with the mouthpieces versus without were significantly different 20 minutes post. And so if that's the case, then therefore the next step is to see, well, how then does it affect muscle repair and all those things that we just mentioned earlier.
As you've heard me mention before, adding Athletic Greens to my daily routine has been the best thing I've done all year. I have more energy and focus with less caffeine. I have fewer stomach issues from too much coffee, and overall, I feel healthier. It has been a game changer for me this year. I will admit, though, I had been thinking about trying Athletic Greens for a while, but I just kept putting it off because of the cost. The initial price tag looks hefty, $77 for a month's supply. That seems like a lot to commit to. But when I broke it down in my head, I realized that this is only $2.50 per serving, and that $2.50 seems even cheaper now that I've seen the benefits. I'm no longer taking my multivitamin, since Athletic Greens has all the nutrients and minerals, except in more real food form, so that knocks out about $1 per day. Plus, I'm drinking much less coffee and don't quite feel as guilty for not always having the fridge stocked with fresh greens, so that cuts off another dollar or two. So basically, it's costing me an extra 50 cents compared to my old routine. 50 cents for all the amazing health benefits, how great I feel, and the unique ingredients is easily worth the price. If you've been thinking about trying Athletic Greens as well, but the price kept holding you back, Athletic Greens has made an even better deal for Run to the Top listeners by giving you a year's supply of vitamin D plus 5 travel packs when you use the link athleticgreens.com/RTTT. They even have a money-back guarantee if you don't love it. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/RTTT to get a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 travel packs plus a money-back guarantee.
Okay, so if the cortisol lowers faster, if the inflammatory response lowers faster after we're done exercising, presumably that means that we're recovering faster and then can do another workout sooner. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Or even be ready, even not sooner, but even the next day, right? You're ready for it. And then your intensity level can be where it needs to be, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, those days you run like, ugh, I'm just worn out. And the next day you're like, ugh, just forced myself to do it.
Yeah.
But your intensity level is not going to be as great. I mean, there's not many people who can bring it back up. So that is presumably that would be what would happen, right? You're ready at a higher level.
Okay. So, and you're finding the same findings in runners versus strength athletes. Is that correct?
Yes, we're seeing both.
Okay.
So different mechanisms, right, for runners. Obviously, resistance trainers don't need the respiratory impacts like runners, right? That's important. But it has to do with cortisol, I really do believe. We've shown in the studies, so it would be applicable to any athlete.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it is as good as you say it is, that means that, you know, runners, we obviously need to strength train, but sometimes strength training, especially if you're busy, is hard to fit in on a running day. So we end up doing it on a non-running day when we should be recovering. Mm-hmm. But if we can recover faster from both of those activities, that is only going to benefit our running, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be Thor or Superwoman.
Right.
Wear it. I mean, you know, there's 15 to 20% improvement in all the parameters we're seeing, but whereas cortisol, there's a 50% improvement. But any improvement for me, as I get older, I'm on it because I want to have any advantage I can. My goal is to be running at 85 or 90. You know, I'm going to be slow, but that's okay. Because so many things that I want to do continue through life are predicated on my ability to run. Like, I think running is, for me, it's just what has fueled my whole life in so many areas. So I don't want to give it up.
For sure. For sure. So the one thing I did notice when I wore it on my one run is that it made me have more saliva in my mouth. Uh-huh. So I felt like I was spitting a lot more. So can you talk about that? Is that going to continue or do I get used to it? Or can you talk about that part?
I think for some people I have seen that, if not everyone, they'll wear it and that, you know, how your tongue is activated, mm-hmm. you know, you're touching something, it causes you to salivate. Mm-hmm. I would imagine for you, it would go away eventually and just okay. continue to swallow it. But, you know, I can't guarantee it, but I haven't found that it's been a problem for most people to continue okay. using it.
Okay. Well, it's really fascinating. I need to try it in while I'm lifting weights for sure, but I just got it. So I'm definitely going to try it out and see how it goes. So where do you see this technology being used in the future? Are there any applications that you can think of outside of just exercise?
We absolutely. I mean, I'll say one of the things I wanted to mention I mentioned earlier is the cerebral blood flow. And so for me, understanding how that improves and therefore how it could affect, the inflammation, the inflammatory response of the brain, the neurodegenerative process, like that is kind of high thinking. But I will say, one of my other areas of research is with concussion. Mm-hmm. And so we're beginning to see, obviously, the importance of exercise post-concussion at that level that needs to be safe. So implementing a mouthpiece that could help hopefully facilitate one of the issues with concussion, like it's a cerebral blood flow. One of the areas of concussion with that and the mouthpiece could be that application of this within the exercise protocol. Because it's all about helping individuals, right? It's not about, you know, it's really about in every way. We want to apply it for the military, right? One of the areas that I studied early on was reaction time. And so we saw an improvement with the reaction time. I saw an improvement with the blink reflex response. And so if we can make changes in the neurons based on potentially cerebral blood flow with a mouthpiece, I just think it's not going to cure a disease, but it's going to be helpful along different seasons of life where we may have an application for those sorts of areas where we found research to be the strongest.
Okay. Wow. That's really fascinating. So what questions are still left unanswered in your research and what comes next, with this technology and, you know, more, you know, I know you covered it a little bit, but what are we looking at in the future?
You know, really it's to understand, one of the things, again, I didn't mention earlier, but I noticed subjectively, so I spent a couple years in South America speaking Spanish and had learned it pretty well. But then 10 years post, if you don't use it every day, you forget it. So I would notice when I was training for my last marathon with a mouthpiece, I would come back in after a run. And before the run, I was trying to think of a word like, I can't remember what that word is. What is that word? How to say it in Spanish. And I would come back, like, come to me. And so I know exercise obviously promotes the blood flow. And then I think, I wonder if that has promoted that in some way. So I want to look at cognition, and the application of integrating the mouthpiece with, you know, cognitive ability, you know, that inflammatory response. I want to look at concussion, recovery aspects, with mouthpiece. Again, any area that we can give even an edge, I would say most people would love that, right? I mean, if you have a child, which I've had, who's had a concussion and they're recovering, you want to make that you want to improve that as best as you can. And so those are some areas, just a couple, but I have so many more, right? I want to look at that. It's just a great opportunity.
Yeah. So it sounds like we should be wearing this all the time, right? Or no?
I don't wear mine all the time. I'll only wear it when I exercise. So I suppose you could, but I'm like you had mentioned, you may have increased clenching just naturally that occurs when you're just working or so forth, but it works when I'm exercising. Maybe we should study that next too. Maybe UPS workers should wear it and see if their stress levels decreases at Christmas time, right?
Right. Or people in high stress jobs, they should be wearing it all the time. This is really fascinating, Dina. I mean, it's very strange sounding, but my goodness, if it really works, this could have huge applications. So Thank you for bringing this topic to our attention. I know that so many runners out there are going to just try it. I mean, recover faster. That's like what we're all looking for, especially as we age. So this is some really fascinating stuff. But before I let you go, I have a few questions that I ask everyone. The first one is, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you first started running, what advice would you give yourself?
You know, that's interesting. I was thinking about that this morning. When you run, I was very type A. I'm type A still, but I was like, oh, if I'm not the fastest, I shouldn't even be out there, right? I felt like intimidated by the fact that I wasn't the best. You know, when I look back now, I'm just would tell myself, be grateful for being able to run. So many people cannot run, and just enjoy it. Enjoy, not just train to be the fastest, but that's part of it, right? When I was younger, but to train and enjoy it. So that would be one thing that I would tell myself. It's not about being fastest, because somebody's always going to be faster than you, right? And you're going to be faster than someone else. So, and just enjoy the sport. Don't compare yourself. And I think that's what obviously I did when I was younger, which is good and bad, but I would remind myself that it's good to be yourself and push yourself, but also not compare.
Good advice for sure. What is the greatest gift that running has given you?
You know, I mentioned earlier, I would say I have a very, I have a stress-filled job. I have so many things going on in my life that it has been just given me life in so many ways. If I have issues, I'll just go for a run and things clear up. Right now, my oldest son is going to college, and that makes me want to lose my breath thinking about all the things I could have done. And so I just put my mouthpiece in, I go for a run, and it calms. And so the gift of in being feeling like, as a female, especially feeling strong. I mean, to me, that is the best gift for me as a female. Like, I am strong. I can do so much because of my running. It has enabled me to do so many things that I would never have done otherwise.
I love it. I love it. And finally, Dina, where can listeners connect with you and find more about Airwave?
So the Airwave website is www.airwaav.com. And they can find more information on the website as well as Amazon, other places similar. They will be able to find information about the Airwave.
Okay, great. Is there any place they can connect with you directly?
Sure. My email is garnerd1@citadel.edu. So
perfect. Well, be prepared for some emails and some questions, because they'll be coming after this one. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain this really fascinating technology, Dina. And I look forward to trying it out a few more times and seeing how it works for me.
Well, keep me posted. I'm interested. I always love to ask people what their thoughts are. We're always trying to fine tune it. And so I love your feedback.
Okay. I'll be giving you some for sure. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
As I mentioned in the interview, I've only tried out the mouthpiece once so far on a run. So I can't say for sure that it works for me. We did talk a little bit after we stopped recording about specific placement of my jaw when I'm wearing the Airwave. I might need to let my jaw slide a bit more forward to allow my tongue to completely flatten, which would allow my airway to open up more. I'll keep playing around with it and let you know. I have tried wearing it in a strength workout, and I can actually see it helping there. I am definitely a teeth clencher, so it's nice to have something that at a minimum is going to protect my teeth when I lift heavy. It's also great to have the green light to bite down on something, because it's a habit that I've been trying to break. If all that clenching is also increasing blood flow to my brain, I'll take it. So will we see the day when a mouthpiece is standard piece of equipment for all athletes? Who knows? But I hope this research continues, because it's a fairly minimally invasive intervention that could potentially have huge benefits on performance and recovery, something we are all looking for. What do you think? Would you try it? I'd love to hear what you think about it. Feel free to email me your thoughts at claire@runnersconnect.net. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast with me, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner. Our mission is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Connect with me on Instagram at The Planted Runner and at Runners Connect. Join the Runners Connect team at runnersconnect.net and support our show for free with a review on Apple Podcasts. If you love the show and want to get more free content in your inbox, become one of my favorite listeners and get the elite treatment at runnersconnect.net/podcast. Have a great run today.